In case y'all haven't heard, Katie Edwards is pregnant. If we wanted to announce that today. Bless you, Katie. I love you, baby. all of our folks that ran in the marathon yesterday, would they stand up, please? There's one right there. Where's Dave? Stand up, Dave. There we go. Let's give them a big hand. God bless you. We were rooting you on from afar. from the couch. Gonna have that heart attack while I'm sticking another rib or potato chip in my mouth. Glad you're here today. If you're our guest here, we welcome you. And I think you've already figured it out. We're pretty kicked back here. And we're glad you're here to be part of the family. Come around the table as the larger family comes together. We have groups that meet during the week, but this is a time where everybody gets together. Glad to have Brother Dwight Guy from, he is the Director of Missions for the Savannah Baptist Association here with us today. We're glad to have you, Brother Dwight. And bless you in your ministry for the churches of the Savannah Baptist Association. Have you ever wondered why you were created? Ever asked that question? And thought about, well, am I being and am I doing what I was created for? Are there times when you feel like it all just comes together and you say, oh man, I wish it could be like this all the time? Are there other times when you think, man, this stinks? Today, the title of our message today is Created to Become Like Christ. Our key verse for today comes from New Living Translation, from Romans chapter 8, and it says, "For God knew His people in advance, and He chose them to become like His Son." Maybe you never thought about this before, but eternity past, God designed and desired that you would look like Jesus. And in fact, when we look at the original creation story, the scripture says we were created in the image of God, struck in His image. And we can spend a lifetime trying to fathom the depths of that. But today, I just want us to kind of dip our toe in the water. And I hope you'll listen quickly today, because I have a lot of scriptures, a lot of things I want to share with you today. Let's pray. Spirit of God, very Spirit of Jesus, the Christ, we invite your presence here now. Holy Spirit, come. Thank you for this great time of worship. The family coming together. Lord, we bless your name today. We are blessed people. Now, Lord, speak to us through your word. We're counting on it right now. Some of us, Lord, have come here with great burdens. Things that are just weighing us down. I'm asking you, Lord, for burdens to be lifted today. I'm asking you for truth to penetrate our hearts. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Our first point this morning. You and I were created to become like Jesus, as that scripture that we read just a moment ago. For God knew His people in advance, and He chose them to become like His Son. Newsflash. God's ultimate goal is not your comfort and pleasure. He wants you to grow up spiritually. So that not only you can be ready for the life today that you're going to live, but the next day and the next day and forever to be with Him. Some of us think that becoming like Jesus means that we lose our personality and become just this Jesus clone. Nothing could be further from the truth. Why would He create you and then spend the rest of your life with your own unique fingerprint, handprint, voice code, DNA, everything that makes you who you are? Why would He create you like that and then spend the rest of the time trying to make you something else? No, in fact, He wants you to be all that you can be in Him. He's not trying to destroy your personality. His purpose is to transform your character. His purpose, first of all, is in His Son, is to redeem you, to buy you back, to bring you into the light so that you can be with Him forever, and then to transform you into that person that He desired and designed from eternity past that He knew you could be. And in fact, right now, just think about it. He wants to make you a better you. Not some Nazi, lockstep kind of clone that the world has this caricature of, this stiff Christian that's against everything, that is there to rain on everybody's parade. That's not what God desires and designed. He wants to fulfill His original purpose in you. Remember in the garden? There they were. They had it all. And you might say that Adam and Eve ate us out of house and home. You hear a lot of people talking about success. What success is. Boy, we're having to redefine that right now, aren't we? Because all that load of you fill in the blank that we were sold a few years ago, now you're looking at it and you're saying, oh, where's all that? Where are all the seminars? Where are all the people that boy, they had it all. Do you do 1, 2, 3, bang, this is it. It's not quite working out that way. There must be another way. Today, we're going to talk about getting rid of some of the junk that gets in between us and God. God is not some colossal killjoy. If you're here today and you've bought into that lie, I want to tell you today, it's a lie. He wants you to have fun. I mean, real fun. Real joy. Joy that doesn't just put a smile on the outside, but puts a smile on the inside that breaks out through the bad circumstances and brings the joy of the Lord even to a circumstance that is absolutely awful. Because you see, He's Lord of the circumstances. He wants you to be like His Son. Number two, it's not too late. You can start today. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10 says this, "For whatever I am now, it is all because God poured out His special favor on me, and not without results." It's Apostle Paul speaking. "For I've worked harder than all the other apostles, yet it was not I, but God who was working through me by His grace." Now, who are we talking about? We're talking about Paul here. I know some of you think, well, that's good for some people. Some people can have that. But I'm too far gone. I'm too far away. Dusty, you don't know what my life... I don't have to know. I don't have to know. All I have to know is my own story and the stories that I see in Scripture. Because you see, we're talking about Paul here. This is Paul the murderer. This is Paul the persecutor of the church. This is the Paul the legalist, The guy who went around beating people over the head with his religion, Paul, that God delivered from that. That God transformed his life. It's not too late. God has a personal plan for your life that begins today. Today, it's not too late for you. Don't believe that lie today. Oh, Dusty, you know, there's just some things that can't change. Well, let me give you a few examples. Here was Paul, an adult, a grown man, who had already experienced several careers in his life. And now God comes to him and does this great work in his life. Let's look at Abraham. Man, when it really starts cooking in Abraham's life, how old is Abraham? He's 90 years old. We don't have anybody that's even 90 yet, do we? How old are you, Brother Bob?
Not quite.
Not quite. All right. Now, I'm not hurrying you up, Brother Bob. But he's most of the way there. 90 years old, that's when it began. Look at Moses. Speaking of somebody that already had a couple of careers. You know, there, a son of promise of the promise of Egypt there. You know, there he was, you know. The Pharaoh's daughter took him in. All that story. Then he gets run out of Egypt. He has another whole career out in the desert raising sheep. And then God comes to him. Man, did any of that stop God from using him in a powerful way? And in fact, let me put it to you this way. Everything in your life that's gone up to now, including the bad stuff, God can use. Because he can hit a straight lick with a crooked stick. Because every time he uses one of us, that's who he's using. So, if you're using that excuse, you got to go grab another one. That one's just been ruined for you. Number three, God's truth will tell us how to do it. Look at John 8:32. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Some of us have just been languishing here. You know, how can this happen in my life? Well, let me tell you, it's not rocket science. It's not complicated. God's not into complication. In fact, when something gets complicated, you can bet man's hand or man's hand inspired by the evil one is all over it. That's complication. God's into simplifying things so, and revealing things so that we can understand. God's truth will set you free. You might be thinking, but Dusty, I'm not in bondage. Yes, you are. Every time you say, I can't, what you're saying is, I won't. See, even though you may not believe in yourself, Jesus believes in you. That's why he died for you. He loves you. Cares about you. Here are a few common statements we hear from folks from time to time. Excuses. And I've used all of them. I'd like to live the Christ-centered life, but... Or how about... I wish I could live the Christ-centered life. Or how about, I just wish I could be different. Or, I just wish I knew how. What we need is a truth encounter. Now, time out here for just a second. A little sidebar here. How much of the stuff that you trusted as being true up to a few years ago that you say, oh man, I know I can count on that, has borne out. Think about it. But whose truth has been through the ages? A lot of what people in our culture base their lives upon is a lie. You think about it. God's gone to great pains through the Scripture to reveal His truth to us, to show Himself. And by the way, just how extinct is this book? Generation after generation, they've been shooting at it. They've been saying it's irrelevant. Generation after generation. Cultures translated into I don't know how many languages today. And this book continues to be like the morning news. It's fresh because it's God's Word. It does not go out of style. So, here's where we can begin. I'll give you five easy steps. Number one, receive God's truth in your life. Just say, God, I'm going to open myself to your truth. And be open. You got to have an open spirit to let God speak to you. And by the way, has He been speaking to you all along? But have you been listening? Secondly, start reading this book on a daily basis. You don't have to read much. But if you go to this book with an open spirit each day, I guarantee you God will speak to you out of this book. Now, how do I know that? Because I've seen it in my own life. Day after day after day. Not so you can beat somebody over the head with it. I'm talking about God speaking to you about what's in your life. And showing His love. And the greatest, one of the greatest things I can say about this book is it's a love letter. It shows how much God loves us. Third thing, research the questions that you have about life. Look and see what the Bible has to say about them. Is it true or not? You know how often the self-help books get recycled at Barnes & Noble? And it's a whole different set of authors now that have the answer for your life. Fourth thing, you need to remember what God's Word has to say to you. So, the Scripture talks about hiding it in your heart. What does God have to say to me about situations where I don't know what to do? Have you thought this week, you know, I'd do the right thing if I just knew what it was. If I could just go in there and do the right. Well, here's God's letter to you. And reflect on God's, number five, reflect on His Word. Now, this is not an invitation for you to throw your mind in neutral and let every other thing come into your life. I'm talking about letting God speak to you. Let the Spirit of God bring this to bear in your life. Sometimes, you know what I'll do? I'll just be sitting down and I want to spend some time with the Lord. I said, okay, Lord, I know I've been reading over here, but I'm just going to take my Bible and I'm going to test you out right now. I'm going to say, whoop, open it up. And I read. And you know what? He speaks. He speaks. Because He speaks to me out of His love and His care for me. He wants to talk to you. And be personal and intimate. All right. Number four. There's a process to my growth. Here's Ephesians 4:14 from the Message. No prolonged emphases among us, please. We'll not tolerate babies in the woods, small children who are an easy mark for imposters. I love that paraphrase. You see, there's a process to you grow. God wants you to grow up. We're not to remain children forever. You know, as much as we try to do it, we were talking last night about our children. They're playing with our little grandnephew, little Cooper. And he's 13 and a half months old. And he's, you know, learned to walk back and forth. And we're talking about, all right, Logan, I'm going to throw you under the bus. We're talking about Logan, my youngest son, who's 17 now. And how that... He was 18 months old before he started walking. And we took him to the doctor, and Megan, Audrey, and I took him to his doctor's appointment. And Megan's holding him there. And he's 18 months old. And we're saying, Doc, why isn't he walking? And he just looks at the three of us. He said, he doesn't have to. I'm sorry, son. He was our last one, and we wanted him to stay a baby as long, all that stuff, you know. But you can't stop that growth, because that is part of the natural process. It's part of the natural spiritual process. He wants us to grow up. I won't read it now, but... if you go to 1 John 2, verse 12 through 14, it talks about there's a blueprint for us to grow up. It talks about children and young men and fathers. And that is a spiritual process of you're a child and then you're a young man. And then he wants us to grow up to be fathers and mothers in the Lord, to grow up. To grow up and be adult people. And let me tell you, the situation of our world today, our country, demands that we grow up. That we be who God's called us to be. Not this cookie cutter, oh, you're going to be, but all of us, with all the nuances of our personality, who God created us to be, what we bring to the table, created in His image. Number five. Also, there's a purpose to our problems. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says this: for our present troubles are quite small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us an immeasurably great glory that will last forever. When you look at problems in your life, don't you tend to look at them as negative? Boy, if I could just get rid of the problems in my life. But the Scripture says that Jesus is Lord over everything. That means He's Lord over your problems. That means that your problems can become a source of good for the Lord. Often we want to short-circuit the process that God is using with our problems. Well, our problems, what He uses them to do is to refocus our attention upon Him. Right? Would you agree with that? Your problems become a place. I can't do anything. If I could continue to buy my way out of it, I'd do it. If I could continue to manipulate my way out of it, I'd do it. If I could continue to leverage my relationships to get out of it, I would do it. But what happens when you come to the end of all that and none of that works? What's happening for our country right now? Oh, we'll just buy our way out of it. How's that working out? Not too good. We're having to come to the place where we're going to get back to who made this country. Who brought this wonderful land in which we live, this country, into existence? Who is behind it? Who is behind our Constitution? Who is behind the principles upon which we stand in this nation? Supposedly, there is the Lord God, Yahweh Himself, revealed to us in His Son, Jesus. He is Lord over all. So, God can use our problems to grow us into the people that He wants us to be. There are three tools that they use. You ought to be able to remember these. He uses trouble, temptation, and trespass. God uses trouble to teach us to trust Him. Because what happens after a while? We get to thinking, well, I'm in charge. And then what do we usually learn? I'm not in charge. And boy, if I'm in charge, I'm doing a sorry job of it. But see, trouble can refocus our attention to say, Lord, come here and help us. Temptation. Temptation teaches us to obey Him. Obey Him. We're tempted by many things. Now listen to me. Temptation is not a sin. Yielding to temptation is a sin. So, we're all going to be tempted. Tempted by different things. And the evil one, he's not very creative. He's got one game plan that he keeps coming back to again and again. And he just keeps coming at it again and again. Isn't that the way it is with you? Those temptations that come back, same ones, trying to get you to yield. Trespass. He uses trespass to teach us about forgiveness. When we commit a trespass against someone, when we sin against someone, or they sin against us, it teaches us the power of forgiveness. It's one of the things when we do premarital counseling. It says one of the great things that we see about the gospel that is in with a husband and a wife. Because if you can't forgive, you won't be married very long. Will you? Because you know what? Sooner or later, you're going to step in it. Right? I'm glad to see some men raising their hands. Go ahead and put your hands up. Any men here stepped in it before? And was there a woman there to let you know that you had just stepped in it? Okay. Any women here that have stepped in it? Yes, sir. All right. You see, we have that in common. St. Laurie. Forgiveness. We've got to have forgiveness or we can't have relationship. You see, but where's that come from? If we didn't have forgiveness, we couldn't have relationship with Him, could we? It all gets back to those basic things of life. All right. So, here's a way you can grow. Number 6. There's a way for you to grow. Philippians 1:6 says, "And God began doing a good work in you, and I'm sure He'll continue it until He's finished when Jesus Christ comes again." You know what? When someone corrects you or something's wrong in your life, you know what you need to tell them? Say, "Thank you, because I'm a work in progress. God's not finished with me yet. As long as there's breath in my body, He's not finished with me. He's still working on me to conform me to the image of Christ." You know, theologically, that get back to our sanctification, being made holy as He is continuing to as we continue to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. So, what we need to do? First of all, we need to wake up. Some of you are drifting off to sleep right now. It's time to wake up to what's going on in your life. Wake up to what's going on in the world. Wake up to what's happening around you. Let's have a brisk breeze, or maybe, ask the Holy Spirit, just throw a bucket of cold water on us to wake us up. It's time to wake up for what God has in store for the rest of your life. Today's the first day of the rest of your life. He wants to do good through you. He wants to do great through you. For such a time as this, He's brought you to the kingdom. It's time to wake up. Wake up now. Wake up to everything that's around you, for the possibilities of your life. It's time, secondly, to show up. Show up to the opportunity. You know, a lot of what happens in our life, you know, it doesn't take rocket science. You just got to show up just to be here, like this morning. You know what? We had some great time of worship today. But you know, I'd have missed it if I'd have had my lazy fanny in the bed this morning and taken that extra hour to be extra 6 hours in the bed today. You know, sometimes just showing up, just being there, you're going to get wet with all the overflow that goes on. Show up. You need to show up to your daily appointment with God. You need to spend time in His Word and prayer each day. God's giving you a daily opportunity to be a better family member. Husband, wife, child, parent. You need to show up and be here with the body and enjoy one another around the table. In your life group, to be a part, just being there. Third, you need to set up. Wake up, show up, set up. Because God's setting you up for the change that He's going to do in your life. And you need to cooperate with Him for the setup. This is all a setup. That idea that all these things that have gone before have been preparation for today. And God's not going to waste any of it. You need to speak up. This is not just about what goes on, goes into you. It's about what comes out. Go make a difference in people's life. There are people in your life right now that are dying by inches. Do you know that? People you work with, do you really know what's going on in their lives right now? Do they know the Lord? Do they have Jesus in their life? Do they have hope? How many of you have had someone dear to you in your life? Don't raise your hand, but rhetorical question here. They've committed suicide before. And you said afterwards, I wish I'd known. Let's pay attention. Let's pay attention to what spiritually is going on with the people right now. And right now, there's a lot of needs around us. We need to speak up. And finally, we need to take up. You're just getting started. Just getting started. It's time to take up slack. Pull that drawstring. Let God bring it all together. Let him show you. Oh, that's what that's about. Oh, I get it now. That's why we need to be. I was listening to someone's testimony a couple of weeks ago, and they were sharing how they finally could see, oh, that's why we get together, for encouragement, so we can be sent back out again into the world. Got to bring all that together. And finally, there's power. There's power to help you do it. Ephesians 1:14. The Spirit is God's guarantee that He will give us everything He promised. That He has purchased us to be His own people. This is just one more reason to praise our glorious God. You see, we have the Spirit as God's earnest in us. He is the very Spirit of God who lives in us. This is the tabernacle of God. Now, we're temporarily here in this building. But when we leave this building, it's no longer a tabernacle. It's just a building. It only has any significance because we're here. But we have the Spirit of God who has taken up a residence, the very Spirit of Christ, who lives in us, who gives us the power, who gives us the gifts, who gives us what we need, who speaks to us on a daily basis and shows us where we need to go and what we need to do and how we need to pray for people. Has God this week shown you to pray for someone individually? Put your hand up. God just pricked your heart. Have you asked them? Well, what? Why? Why was I praying for you? Maybe you already knew. But in some cases, God just woke you up in the night, in the middle of the day, and said, you know, you need to be praying for so-and-so right now. Because he does that. This power. God doesn't call you to do anything that he hasn't already given you the power to do. So, he's created you to become like Christ because he's in you. So wherever you go, you can just relax and let Jesus shine through you. Whatever you put your hand to. We don't need a nation of preachers. We need a nation of people created in the image of Christ. That whether you're selling insurance, you're out working on somebody's floors, you're creating tools at Gulfstream, you're whatever John does at Gulfstream. Sorry. You're working with software and educating people to do that. You're putting in floors. You're cleaning somebody's house. You're treating them medically. Whatever your job is, it is as unto the Lord. It becomes a sacrifice of praise for him every day. And there you are, being his mouthpiece, and sometimes you hadn't even said a word. You just walked in. And that peace came with you. That peace came into a building. Have you walked into a business lately and you just could feel the tension? Well, maybe God brought you there to pray that tension away. To be part of the solution. Be part of the power of God. Who are you? Who has God made you to be? It's time to get busy. And quit thinking that, oh, I'm going to find my significance by changing jobs. Maybe it's time to get back to what the real job is. God gave you the job to fund the ministry that he has put in your life, that he's created you to be. Where you are. Exhaust that one first before you go looking over the next hilltop. You know, I don't know if I've ever told you all this before, but you know, I come from a line of preachers. Not my family, but a lot of preachers I've known in my life. And it seemed like with preachers, it was always, oh man, I'm going to see the Spirit of God come on the next church that I'm pastoring. God's through with this one. I'm going to go to the next one. But my question is, what's wrong with this one? What's wrong with right now us being who we're supposed to be? You know, Jason's invited us out to the baseball campus next weekend. You say, well, what can I do out there? You won't know until you come. Just show up. Be there. Help. Do something. We'll give you a job. But it starts with an open spirit. Some of you hate the job that you're in right now. Have you ever thought that it might not be the job? Maybe it's time to say, Lord, use me. Use me. He's willing servant. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for speaking to us through your word. Lord, all these scriptures we went through today. Lord, so many that you put on our hearts today. Lord, I'm asking you today for all of us. Lord, I've messed up a lot of opportunities in my life because I was looking over the next hilltop. I wasn't seeing what you were doing right at the moment. So, Lord, I'm praying for us as a body here today. We'll be obedient to you. We'll take what you've put in our hands. Lord, it might be lemons, but you can make lemonade out of that. Created to become like you. Lord, I pray today you'll make us uncomfortable in all the places where we've tried to keep you out. And Lord, give us a comfortability that's out the wazoo in the places where you're calling us to, of being and doing. Come, Spirit of God, come now. Lord, as we open the altar today for prayer, we're counting on you to hear our prayer today, Lord. And Lord, if there's anyone here who's never received you in his life, today they would claim Jesus for themselves. Receive him. Be forgiven of sin and get a new life in you. I ask you that today, Lord. In Jesus' name. We have people standing around that'll pray with you. The altar's open. This is your time with the Lord.